Good morning and welcome to Cox Media Group's public affairs program, FYI. My name is Al Farb, and today we are going to be talking about a World AIDS Day and the Houston efforts put forth by AIDS Foundation Houston. Today I'm joined by the, we've said the big cheese, the CEO, the head of AIDS Foundation Houston, Kelly Young. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
And one of the co-chairs for World AIDS Day, the Houston World AIDS Day luncheon, Ernie Manous.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Ernie. Like I say, one of, like there's a team.
Well, it's you and Bill Baldwin.
Yes.
Yes.
We came back for a second year.
We
did it last year, and then we felt we could do this again, bigger, better. And so that's what we're trying to do. And
yes.
So here we are.
Here we are. And kind of some interesting statistics that I was given, especially here in Houston and Harris County, people living with HIV or AIDS diagnosis in 2012 was over 20,000 people. And in 2013 alone, over 1,200 people were diagnosed with HIV. And that's kind of what you do with the AIDS Foundation Houston and then World AIDS Day is to get more awareness for AIDS and HIV.
Correct. I think what people sometimes forget about with HIV is that it has been a slow and steady path to getting to the point where we could be basically getting to zero, where we have no new infections. And so when we hear 1,200, that is a horrific number because we should be at zero. There is no reason for us to have new infections. And in fact, the epidemic is all the way across the southern states. And so for us, World AIDS Day is just a way to remind everybody that we're not done.
And I think another statistic or assumption that a lot of people make with AIDS and HIV, it is only still now men who have sex with men. Although they do have the greatest burden of HIV, it does affect every single person, regardless of women, children. It does not have a bound to anybody. In fact, in 2012 in Houston, Harris County, 60% of HIV cases in women were from heterosexual contact and 13% were from injection drug use. I don't think people even realize that.
No, it's always the same story that's been told over and over again
Yes.
over the last 30 years. And I think that's part of the issue that we have, which is making sure that everybody knows about getting tested and knowing their status and then what they can do if they are HIV positive. Because even another statistic that they often refer to is only 56% of men who are HIV positive got HIV from another man. So you still have another 44% of people that you need to reach.
Exactly. Kelly, can you tell us some of the we know World AIDS Day, and that's what we're talking about. And of course, CMG is a proud media sponsor of World AIDS Day, Ernie, we didn't mention it, December 1st.
Yes, December 1st.
It is December 1st. World AIDS Day all over the world. But Kelly, can you touch on some of the things that AIDS Foundation Houston does besides World AIDS Day on December 1st?
Yes, I think it's really important to recognize that there are many different groups that work around HIV and AIDS, and what we do is support services. So we tend to serve the most vulnerable individuals, individuals who are low income, that need housing, that need more economic support. And we also do a camp for children. So in terms of children who are born with HIV, we provide a camp every summer for them to learn about medical adherence and to be around other kids that have the same issues that they do. We also do a lot of testing in the community, and we actually are out at the bars and we're out on the street and we're anybody and everybody that we could reach that we could get tested. That's very important to us.
That's awesome. And I've seen your efforts out at the bars and all those places. So to people say, well, you know, I don't have insurance or it's hard for me to get around to getting tested. Now there's really not an excuse because there's so many places to get tested. And now also with the available of free condoms and all this other stuff, there's so much out there that your efforts make it easier for people to be aware and also to prevent the spread.
Absolutely. And part of it around testing is that you could actually come to AIDS Foundation Houston Monday and Tuesdays and get tested. But you can get tested anytime. I mean, anytime you walk into your doctor's office or into a health clinic or anywhere else, you can get tested. But it takes your perspective to say, my health is important enough to me that I'm going to go and get tested. I've been married for 25 years. Ernie's met my lovely husband. He's a wonderful human being, but I still get tested every year because my health is my responsibility, not his. Mm-hmm. And so this is a virus. It's a disease. So if I want to keep myself healthy, I have to make sure that I take that responsibility.
Yeah, and it is, and it is. It has nothing to do maybe if in your personal relationship with your significant other, those that are listening. I've heard so many stories of, I got diagnosed, and I don't know how this happened. And, you know, if you would have checked earlier, maybe you would have known sooner. And now there's so many other preventatives, PrEP. I just recently started taking it. I'm now on PrEP. And it's easy. It's a pill a day, and it's so easy. Something so simple can prevent something so horrific.
Well, what I think is so interesting is if I knew I could take a pill every day to stop the possibility of me getting a chronic disease,
yes,
like diabetes or
cancer,
yeah, any of those things, I would do it in a flash. Mm-hmm. And 30 years ago, every single person would have been beating down the door to be able to get on this medication. And so, again, I'm glad that you said that. I think it's important for people to recognize that it's just a part of a preventative toolkit that helps keep you healthy. And if we would remove the sexuality and the sex out,
yes,
of the issue of HIV, then it would be much easier to get this news out.
I think that's a lot of when people hear AIDS and HIV, they think sex, and more specifically, they think gay sex.
Well, that's, I think, a big problem that we have, or a big issue that we face all the time, is that people look at AIDS Foundation Houston as a lifestyle organization or as a sex action group, when actually it is a health organization. This is a virus that's out in our communities, and it doesn't know if you're gay, straight, bisexual, trans. It has no way of knowing it. It's a virus, and it kills. And we have the ability to stop it in our lifetime, in the next few years even, because we have drug medication, mm-hmm, that if you are HIV positive can reduce your viral load so that you will not spread the disease. And if you are negative, if you're not HIV positive, it can stop you from getting it. So we have the medications out there. The big thing for me is know your status. Once you know, you have the power to do what you need to do to take care of yourself and to live a long life, whether you're negative or positive. And that's the important message we're trying to get out.
And Kelly, I'll ask you this question. What's the big reason why people don't want to know their status, the excuses that they make?
Well, you have to go to the very large picture of stigma. You know, I think, first of all, we have a society that's not real great about people being sick in general. I mean, you know, you tell somebody you have a cold and they run away from you.
Yes.
You know, so even if you have something very simple, you can imagine that people are not looking at you from a place of, oh, I want to know you, I'm going to be around you. Then you add in the extra piece in terms of stigma around the fact that it is sexually transmitted or it is linked to intravenous drug use. That's not true for a lot of people who had it when they were born, but that's how it comes out. Mm-hmm. And so what you have is sort of this picture of people that you can decide to judge, that you can decide to put out in a different category away from you, and you think somehow that's going to protect you. The problem is, like Ernie mentioned, it's a disease. It's a virus. It's going to find whoever it needs, who it can live in and grow in, and that's what all it needs to be able to do it. I think part of it for us is that we're not a society yet who wants to be about cherishing and loving and supporting each other. We still want to be a society that says, you do something bad happens to you.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of people who come in who just, they're not ready to know that they have a chronic disease. That's a very hard thing to learn, that you're going to spend the rest of your life combating a virus. I think for other people, it means they have to look at the people in their lives, because, and particularly for women who find out that they get it from their partner, that's a very scary proposition to make. But lastly, I think about it this way. If I had diabetes, it would be pretty common for me to go home and talk to my family about it. And then every month when I'm at dinner with them, they'd be like, how's your diabetes doing? And how's your medication? And are you doing all this stuff? You don't have those conversations around HIV. So it's still this secret, hidden, shameful thing that really, honestly, until we can look at it from a public health standpoint and get away from this social judgment about it, mm-hmm, we're going to continue to have the disease.
It's part of, a lot of it has to do with the media and media representation. And for the longest time, We the media, because I work over at Houston Public Media, and so I have to take some,
yes,
of the responsibility. Not that our station did this, but in general.
And we're
media,
on a media right now.
Right, yeah. Oh, we are?
Yes, we are.
Are people hearing us?
Yes.
It's that we characterize this illness in a very certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it back in the 80s and the 90s. It was from these people who went out and had indiscriminate sex, and it was drug users. And so already you've got a disease, a virus that is looking negative, that has judgmental things wrapped around.
Yes.
When you get cancer, you didn't have to do anything, people perceive, to get cancer. But when you get HIV, then it's like, well, what did you do? So we're judging you already there. Then there comes just human nature. how many of us have gone to the doctor to even get tested to see if you have cancer? And you don't really want to know because we want to live with our head buried in the sand.
Yeah.
Add to that for many, many years, a belief of a disease that was going to kill you if you had it. And if you're old enough to remember the reports and the way they showed it in the 80s and the 90s, you don't want to know you have that. If there's no hope anyway, why learn? The difference is today that's not the case. Today, you can live a full, rich life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to what I was saying a minute ago. Get tested and know. Once that happens, you can move forward. One of the most amazing things that I ever got to see was with AIDS Foundation Houston last year when I went to one of their residences. And to see the people that live there and are getting services through AIDS Foundation Houston. And it's kind of amazing because you have a very different idea of this illness once you see the people that live at these homes. And it's great because it helps the less fortunate in our community, but it helps them get back up on their feet. It's not as though you're going there to be sick. It's not a hospice. It's a place to get your GED if you don't have it, to make sure you go to your doctor's appointments, to make sure you're taking your medication, to get back on your feet, to get training for jobs, and move back out into the world. And you can stay as long as you need, but if you can stand up and go out there again, we're there to help support you. And I think that really excited me about working with AIDS Foundation Houston and knowing that it's so much more. And the house I went to was an all-women's home. And so not the idea you have of what's HIV.
Exactly. And I think you hit the nail right on the head earlier where the assumption is, okay, you've been diagnosed with HIV and then AIDS and hope is gone.
Right.
It's over. Life is over. But I know of many people who are living, who have a positive status, who live just a normal life, just like everybody else. Now,
I love a statistic I'm going to throw out, and I usually get my statistics all wrong, but the nugget of the story
yes.
is accurate. So they did a test, and they had couples in which one is HIV positive and one is HIV negative, and the positive member of the couple was to adhere to their drug regimen, their pill they were mm-hmm. supposed to take. And over the period of the study, even though they were having what we call unprotected or not safe sex, not a single virus was transmitted. There was no case of transmission as long as they adhered correctly to the medication, which says we have found a way to stem it. We have found a way to stop the flow. But if you don't know you're positive, you are out there potentially spreading this to more and more people. And maybe eventually you're going to figure out you have it and you're going to get the right medication. But the people you've been with, they don't know that.
Yeah, we've seen so many movies. The two come to mind, And the Band Played On, which is early in the 90s, mm-hmm. talking about the original, I guess, how it came to be, how we found out what AIDS was. And then the movie, now as soon as I talk about it, I forget the name, with Julia Roberts and HBO. It talks about how the stigma of how horrible people were treated when they found out they were diagnosed with the disease, and how when they found somebody who was diagnosed with it, who has it, then they tried to track, okay, who did you have sex with, who were you with, and they tried to track those people down.
Right.
It's like a huge, really hard game of telephone.
Well,
going back and forth.
Interesting you bring up both of those examples, because our keynote speaker at the luncheon is Sean Strub. And he was on the front lines of ACT UP back in the 80s.
Wow.
And we'll be able to talk of all of these struggles that we went through. He's written a book that's out right now that is called Body Counts, a memoir of activism, sex, and survival. And it talks about stigmatizing this disease, what we've done, how we fought it, how we got through it to this point, what we've done. He also founded PAWS Magazine. And he's now with a project called the Zero Project, which is also working to defend the rights of people who are HIV positive. Because not only is there the stigma in communities, there is the legal issues that come with it and how they have been maligned and treated poorly, which once again leads to people not wanting to know, not getting tested, not taking care of themselves. And so we as a community all have to wise up and realize this is an illness. This isn't a moral failing.
Yes.
You know, anybody.
It's not a death sentence.
And it's not a death sentence anymore. If you do, and the problem with the media, once again, back to us,
bad media folks.
Is like what you just said. It's not a death sentence, but it is if you don't get the medication.
And not just for you, for innocent people.
Right. And I think the media has done a very bad job of reminding people that HIV is still out there and AIDS still kills people. And we've got this whole idea that, oh, just take a pill so no one cares anymore, you know? It's not about that. It's about making sure you're taking a conscious effort and being involved in your own health and your health regimen and finding out, once again, testing, yes. testing.
And especially now that we're in over 30 years since we've found out about AIDS and HIV, yeah. You know, I'm not trying to make you all feel old or anything, but I'm going to say that
thank you.
You were around.
I'm sorry, we just gave each other a look.
Yeah,
for those
you did.
Of you,
you
on
did.
The radio.
On the radio, yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we don't look old.
No,
so.
Y'all don't look old, and I'm not trying to make you feel old, but what I was trying to say is y'all were around when all that was happening in the 80s. I have now been educated about it and learned a lot about it. Now we have a new youth coming up that have no idea what everybody has gone through for so many years and need to be educated as well.
Back to the media again.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because what we found out with one of our health providers at camp was that we have a whole bunch of young people who are 13, 14, 15 who were born HIV positive. Then we pretty much cut out all babies being born with HIV. That was pretty much done. And you can see this gap. And then she said she's now starting to see children who are born with HIV again come in through her clinic. And all I can think is, like, all we've done, every step we've taken, everything that we've done over the last 30 years, it's enough to keep it sort of, you know, stamped out.
Yeah.
But we actually could be done with it. And there is no reason a child should be born with HIV. But if they are born with HIV, they need to be able to take their medication and move on and not be stigmatized when they become teens and they start dating. Because think about having that conversation with somebody you love.
Yeah. And just to clarify that the reason that no babies are born with HIV is because we have medications that a pregnant woman can take that then will block HIV from spreading to the child. I don't want to think that they found out they did testing and they make sure no children are born.
Yes.
No, it's the medications.
And
we've come a long way in this battle.
And we have been throwing out statistics all morning, and this one it just really stood out. And we do our a radiothon for the stations, and we talk about, well, you know, people can judge adults like we've been talking about, but it's hard to judge a child because they're innocent. They've done anything wrong. So this statistic, if you haven't really been with us all morning and feel like, oh, okay, writing this off, listen to this statistic. Youths 13 to 24 account for over 25% of new infections.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yep.
That's staggering when it could be zero.
There is a statistic in the African-American community, African-American males. I'll let Kelly.
Well, it's interesting when you actually look at the statistics for African-American males, it ranks them 16th in the entire world for new infections across the South. So you're talking about a generation of young men who are growing up and are HIV positive, may know, may not know, but may not be engaging in care. And you're having another generation and another generation. And again, we should be a generation free of HIV AIDS, and particularly AIDS. Part of what I think people get confused about is you can have HIV and never get to an mm-hmm. AIDS status. It's bizarre to me that we have 30% of people who we find out are HIV positive are already to the point of AIDS. So again, something that does not need to be occurring in our society at all. We've done a lot of work around it. But part of it is education. And it's interesting that you talk about, you know, sort of your understanding of HIV versus when we were young. We were the condom
Y'all
generation.
Went through it, yeah.
I mean, everything you did was about that. Mm-hmm. And then you hit this period of time where a lot of health education, particularly around sexual reproduction, didn't include any of that. And it's pretty minimal now. I mean, it's like a 2-second thing on HIV in your health curriculum kind of thing. So you start to see that when you can concentrate on the medications and doing all that stuff, but you're not telling people about it, then you create this gap again.
It's so funny you just said that. I had a flashback of my health textbook in eighth or ninth grade, and it was a picture of the bathroom, and it said, you cannot get AIDS in the bathroom, and maybe two other ones, but that was the one that I remembered the most, and how people and just those different ways of how you could or could not get AIDS. Oh, sneezing or being around somebody who has it, or you touched a bloody tissue or something like that. It's none of those are accurate. And it is about education and getting the word out about if somebody is positive, how to, you know, how can they spread it? How can they prevent it? And how to end this altogether.
Well, and I think it's important. So like for World AIDS Day, why that's an important event, because we have a million luncheons in Houston. We are a very philanthropic, charity oriented city, and I love that about it. But why that becomes important is because with the kinds of funding that come down, so there's no local funding for HIV AIDS work. Our health department gets it all through the federal government. It comes through the CDC. And it's very targeted. It has to be a certain way that you do your testing. Well, that means all the other ways that you could get out in the community and share that information, you have no funding for. So for us, World AIDS Day, it's yes, please come, please enjoy the speaker. But what you're doing is helping to build the ability for us to go out and build in all those extra tools that are needed to ensure that people get tested, that once they get tested, they're linked into care, that they stay into care, and then also know about PrEP so that they can make a decision that's best for them and their health.
And let's talk about PrEP, and then we'll go into specifically what's going to happen on December 1st coming up this Thursday for World AIDS Day. Yes, and a little secret, we're recording a little bit in advance, but yes, it is this Thursday, December 1st. And let's talk about PrEP, and because we've been saying PrEP, people may not know exactly what it is. It's just a word. In the gay community, it's now, I think, widely known. About what it is, but to those
Less
who may not know.
Known in Houston than in other cities with strong gay populations.
So go ahead.
We're a little slow to come to it, too.
Oh, pre-exposure prophylactic.
Yes, pre-exposure prophylactic. So
I like Kelly say the big words.
I know. Yes. It's like, hold on, let me, because that's why we like PrEP, because that's a lot easier to say.
PrEP.
Right, but basically what you're taking is the medication that you can take if you have HIV, and what it does is it blocks the transmission of the HIV virus. And so it basically doesn't become a part of your DNA. And that's why it's very important. And I think part of what people get hung up on, too, is, well, you know, what if I don't take it every day? What if I don't all this? That's why you want to get with a medical professional, somebody that you trust, that you can sit down and talk through all of the choices that you make and the way that you want it to work for you.
Yeah.
Because that becomes very important. We're not just saying a blanketed, everybody go out and do whatever. It's making an educated, smart decision for yourself. Now, in my perspective, I would say that would be a smart decision for me if I'm engaging in relationships where I'm getting to know somebody new or I just want to make sure that I'm protecting myself. But the better part of it is to make sure you get tested.
Right.
And so it's a twofold. And it's really hard because even as I'm talking about it, I can think everybody's already starting to judge the comments that I'm making about this person who's going to get on PrEP.
Well, and let me jump in on PrEP here to say that the things to keep in mind is it is a daily regimen. It's a daily pill. You must take it every day. Kind of like you take a multivitamin or if you have high blood pressure, your blood pressure medication. And to keep in mind, once you start taking the pill, the PrEP pill, you need to take it for about a week before you are covered by it.
Yes.
Over a period of time, if you're on it in the long haul, yes, if you miss a day, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you miss 2 days every week, a day here, that no.
Yeah.
But if you miss one day, it's not the end.
Yeah.
The other thing to keep in mind is if you decide you're going to stop being on PrEP, you must continue to take it at least a week longer after your last involvement because the virus can stay alive. And some people are saying 30 minutes, and I've heard some people say up to 4 days. So if you keep it going for a week, you're pretty much going to be okay.
You're covered.
But the thing is, you've got to do it, and it's so easy.
And I don't know how. I don't know if this is everywhere. I know this is my personal case. The PrEP that I take is free of cost, and that's pretty much the way it is for almost everybody, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's not that it's free of cost. It's that the drug company is funding your taking it.
Okay.
So that they are helping to offset the costs of it, and with insurance, and then their support, you can actually be on it for free. So there's another reason people should look at it.
That's what I meant. Free of cost to the individual who want it. So that would not be another excuse for somebody to say, well, I can't afford it. That's just another expense I can't afford.
Yeah, and if you go to your doctor and they don't know anything about it, because that's the other piece that we found in Houston, that you have a lot of medical providers who are not up on PrEP, that shouldn't stop you either. You know, call. In fact, most of the websites, you know, AFH is AIDSHelp.org, Legacy, Houston Area Community Services, all of them will have a page that has PrEP information. And then through there, you could connect to a doctor that can give you more information about
it. I'm going to jump in and say it again. AIDSHelp.org is our website.
And you'd know to do that, Ernie, because you're such a trained media professional.
Right. Well,
slow
I just
down.
Wanted to jump and make sure it was clear. AIDSHelp.org.
And so we have about 6 more minutes left in the show. Let's talk about Thursday, December 1st. That is Woo-hoo. World AIDS Day. Let's talk about it from, I guess, the world perspective. Everybody, the entire outreach that we're doing all over the world, and then specifically what we're doing here in Houston.
Well, two things. I want to just remind people that this actually was sort of the beginning of, they took basically back in the 80s, they wanted to find a way to commemorate and to really respond to individuals who died of HIV and AIDS. We use this day now as a way to remember, but also to honor those that are living with HIV, because I really want people to remember that ultimately what I want is a world day without AIDS. That would be my ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to recognize that the way the world does it, it can be through candlelight vigils, it can be through luncheons, it can be through plays. There's all sorts of, it's really what's based out of the arts community and bringing people together to be thinking and remembering it. And so I think what becomes important to remember is that this is one day that out of all the other things that you can be thinking about or caring about, just one day, stand up for those who are HIV positive and remember those that had AIDS.
And I like to look at the day a little bit differently as a celebration in how far we've come. Because those of us of a certain age, thank you, Al, remember when it was a death sentence.
Yes.
Remember the horrible images that were on the news and the politicians not saying the word AIDS and all that. And now 30 years on, we have feasible medical help to alleviate so much of this, to prevent infections. Mm-hmm. We've come so far. We can talk about it. In one way, as I jump on the media, it says a lot that media doesn't even cover it a lot anymore because it's become, to them, such a non-issue. But that's amazing that we've gotten to a point that somebody could think a killer virus is a non-issue, but it's because of all the hard work and the doctors and all of that. And that's one of the nice things about our luncheon that we're going to be doing on Thursday at the Hilton, at the Hilton Houston Post Oak.
Yes.
That Houston feels in the wrong place. Hilton Houston.
It seems like it should be Houston first, but Hilton would be the host.
Yes. But Dr. Grottoni is going to receive the Shelby Hodge Vision Award. And what he's come up with is phenomenal. It's a device that when implemented, it's about the size of a dime, implanted into your arm. And for a year, it will provide you the medications you need. So if you are on PrEP, mm-hmm. you get this put in.
Oh, wow.
And for a year, you don't have to think about taking a pill. It takes care of it. It releases the medication. The nice thing is that beyond that, it may be able to be used for a myriad of medications.
Wow.
And that's what they're working on. That was developed right here in Houston. We have the world's greatest medical center here, and they are making strides every day. So that's going to be one thing to celebrate at our luncheon.
Excellent. And you said a celebration of where we were. And the movie, I just remembered, the Normal Heart.
Normal Heart, yes.
With Julia Roberts and HBO. One of the things that one of the characters would do every time he learned one of his friends or somebody he knew passed away, he would take out, and this is also dating, take out the number in his Rolodex and their name and put them in a separate stack and wouldn't throw them away, but it would just keep them there. And his stack became larger and larger as the movie came on. And now we have this statistic to share that people with HIV and AIDS who died in 2012, this is in Houston and Harris County, 388. That's still a large number. That could be zero, but from where it was is significantly less.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Imagine if you turned on the news this morning and heard that 300 and some odd people were killed.
Yeah.
You would be outraged.
In 1 year.
And you think to yourself, that is still happening. People are dying that don't need to die. Think of their lives lost, the contributions they could have made, the joy they bring into someone else's life, how enriched they could be. We're losing these people, and it's because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of testing, a lack of medication, or fear. But there's a lot that plays into it, and we can stop that.
Yeah, and those are 388 sons and daughters and little mm-hmm. boys and little girls who had a family that cared for them. And it's something to point out. And it's our 2 minutes left. Let's talk about Thursday, December 1st, this Thursday, World AIDS Day, Houston's celebration. Ernie, you and Bill Baldwin are returning as the co-chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Strub is the speaker.
Right. And one other thing I want to mention, we've been talking a lot about testing. So in the spirit of World AIDS Day, that evening, Thursday night, at Guava Lamp, which is a bar over off of Allen Parkway. Wah on Allen Parkway.
Yes.
They are doing, they're going to have free screenings, free testing, HIV testing. It's going to be some kind of an event, a festival in a sense, to recognize World AIDS Day. Gabe Leduc, male model from Canada, is coming in. He'll be doing an autograph signing and photos and stuff. And he's on PrEP and is a proud speaker on the benefits of PrEP. And so come out.
And you'll be there.
I'll be there. You'll be there.
I'll be there too. Yeah, both of us will be there.
Kelly will probably be there too.
I will be there.
So
I'll get my test.
So how can we get, if somebody's interested in joining us on Thursday, because I'll be at the luncheon as well. Cox Media Group, our three stations here in Houston, are the media partners.
So it's two events.
Yes.
It's the luncheon, luncheon's at 1, but depending on your ticket level, when you can come. And that's going to happen at the Hilton Houston Post Oak. And a wonderful lunch. And then that evening at Guava Lamp is a free event. Anybody that wants to come, free HIV screening and testing starting at 7 o'clock. All this information and so much more you can find at AIDSHelp.com. AIDSHelp.org, and that's the AIDS Foundation Houston website.
AIDSHelp.org. Well, thank you so much, Uri Manus from Houston Public Media, who is one of the co-chairs for this year's Houston World AIDS Day celebration. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Kelly Young, who is with the AIDS Foundation Houston.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. My name is Al Farb. You've been listening to Cox Media Group's Public Affairs Program, FYI.